Most of us have childhood memories of being taught the do's and don'ts by our parents and the adult world. These do's and don'ts reflected society's traditions, rules, laws, and maybe even safety. We quickly learn, or for some of us, not too quickly, that to ignore the don'ts had their repercussions, and to follow the do's often produce rewards. And I can remember the former of the repercussions. Of course, you're always told as a small child, you don't fool with those little things on the side of the wall called electrical outlets. I guess I was about 4 years old. And during that time, the toys that you got were tin toys. Weren't such a thing as plastic or vinyl. So I had gotten this farm set. I can remember it so well. It had a tractor and had a rake behind the tractor and a plow. But one of them had a prong that stuck out. Well, it seems like I was playing right alongside in the dining room, alongside of this outlet. Well, I don't know why. Sparks flew everywhere. Luckily, I must have withdrawn very quickly or something. But up until maybe 10 years ago, we had moved from that house to my grandmother's house next door. And my other grandmother got that house. And I know until about 10 years ago, I looked at that socket, and it was still a burn mark there on that socket. I learned very quickly that you don't put stuff in, even though I was taught. Well, anyway, basically, we were brought up under the system of punishment, reward. My punishment was the fear. I can remember both very vividly, and especially the punishment side of it. By the way, my parents never knew what happened. Never knew what happened. I never told them. On the punishment side of the whole thing of growing up, I can remember, young man, just wait till your father comes home. And as it turned out, the worst part of the punishment was that day all along waiting for my father to come home to see what the punishment was. That was the punishment, that week. The actual punishment was almost a relief. Often the reward was nothing more than an acknowledging smile or a hug from my parents. To get a statement like, I'm proud of you, gave a feeling beyond words. We all can probably recognize that. The do's and don'ts were a vital part of childhood learning and the experience of being a child. It was essential to understand the realities of the society that taught them. That is, in order for there to be a civilized society, there must be parameters and guidelines, which are called rules, regulations, and laws, which must be learned and followed. Therefore, the childhood learning experience is to know that there are repercussions as well as rewards when living under what generally we call the law. That is why discipline and rewards are so vital in the early years of life. But there is also another reason for such a system. One quickly learns that rules, regulations, and laws alone lead to fear, unworthiness, and the inhibition of creativity. It almost becomes a no-win situation, for as it has been said, laws were made to be broken, and everybody in one way or another fall into this category. So we live under the guilt of that. Law alone is not the answer in life. In childhood, the don'ts eventually lead to the recognition of the value of the rewards that the do's bring. We may have been tempted by the don'ts, like I was with that electrical socket. But the possible repercussions led us to know the rewards of the do's. We learned which was better. To have the full experience as a child was to know and experience discipline, but also to know and experience rewards. This led us to begin to comprehend love and forgiveness, since the don'ts, even though followed by discipline, do not cancel the love and the forgiveness of the rewards of the do's. The truth is that love overcomes and fulfills all laws. Law then can ultimately lead us to the doorsteps of understanding love, but cannot take us any further than that. This is because law is dogmatic and even rational in our human thinking. It is motivated out of fear of repercussions. On the other hand, love can be said to be irrational, for it denies oneself in order to embrace that which is beyond and often at the expense of self. Therefore, to live within a life of love, it takes faith that love will grant us the rewards of life which go well beyond society's system of do's and don'ts. It is temporal rewards and discipline. Law does not take faith to follow, but just the understanding of rewards and punishments. Love takes faith that will lead us to its own rewards. Paul states this in the most direct manner. Now, before faith came, we were imprisoned and guarded under the law until faith would be revealed. Therefore, the law was our disciplinarian until Christ came, so that we might be justified by faith. Then he goes on to complete the relationship between law and gospel, or law and love. But now that faith has come, that is the gospel of love in Jesus, we are no longer subject to a disciplinarian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. Go back to our childhood memories. We knew our parents as disciplinarians, but as the years went by, our relationship with them became more and more that of understanding the reality of parental love. That is especially after we got well beyond the teenage years. We cherished those times which we hated as a child of being disciplined. And all of a sudden we saw it as an act of love. Our childhood and youth led us to understand that all the rules and discipline were out of our parents' love for us. As adults, the parental relationship is the experience of love and not discipline. Life finds its maturity in love and not in law. The ultimate of maturity in life is to have life totally consumed by God's love. This maturity for Paul is and cannot be in the law and its discipline, but in the message and life of Jesus, which makes us children of God. We come into this maturity through our baptism. We are then a member of the body of Christ, but fully take this responsibility upon our confirmation. It is then that the rubber hits the road and society's rules, regulations, laws, and traditions are to be viewed and interpreted in light of God's love and forgiveness. Paul states that in the body of Christ, there is none of society's traditional personal distinctions, prejudices, and exclusiveness. He states, there is no longer Jew or Gentile. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male or female. For all of you are one in Christ. This was a most revolutionary statement at that time. For it was a time when there were strong distinctions made among people, just like there is today. The Jews saw the Gentile as pagan and unclean. Slavery was quite common, and of course the slave was no more than property to be owned, not even a second-class citizen. And women were seen as inferior to men and were second-class citizens. As a matter of fact, the Jewish man's morning prayer thanked God that, quote, you have not made me a Gentile, a slave, or a woman, end of quote. Paul's society's laws, social structure, and traditions, Paul set them upside down. For within the body of Christ, everyone is equal and are children of God without any distinctions. I find it quite interesting that within the confines of the church, Paul's saw everyone equal as God's children. But he has difficulty in giving the same equality to women and slaves in everyday life. In Ephesians, he writes, wives, be subject to your husbands as you are to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, just as Christ is the head of the church. This is certainly not social equality. In the same letter, though, he states, slaves, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling. There are other times when he makes moves towards social equality, though. In 1 Corinthians, he states, for the wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. Likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Equality. And concerning slavery, he appeals to Philemon to see his slave Onesimus not as a slave, but as a brother. We often tend to think of the apostles as being beyond human, but they were as human as you and me, and were very much a product of their time. But even that, Paul seemed to overcome. Even though Paul seems to have difficulties in social equality, he definitely does not have any problem with seeing total equality through baptism in the body of Christ. It would take many centuries before this equality through baptism would begin to find its way into society's practices. Today, we are still wrestling with it and find it difficult to put equality into practice. Within our lifetime, we are living through this struggle and witness the extremes which can happen during this process. Today, we are all too aware of the changes which have occurred and which are being challenged and threatened and changed again. It is not only being played out in politics and within society, but also within the church. We in the church must always be committed to the equality which the love of God demands, and not fall prey to the extremes which would destroy this life of love and forgiveness. It is tragic to see these extremes taken over our nation and the world during this present time. It is even more tragic to see many in the name of Christianity denouncing Jesus' gospel of love and forgiveness by their very actions. You know, today is not an easy time to live. Even though the economic system seems to be booming, for it is a time of also of deep turmoil and divisiveness. It is a time of uncertainty. Uncertainty about what the next moment may bring. It is a time when society's laws are being disregarded for personal gain, which undermines society itself. Times are most certainly troubling. But for the Christian, life is made easier, for we have the example given to us in the life of Jesus. By living this example, the law and the inevitable violation of it are overcome by the great rewards of God's love and living this love. Thereby, those who look to us will discover the joy of God's love and forgiveness, first through the discipline of the law, and then by the faith to go beyond into the life of being God's children, which finds the fulfillment of all discipline and law. Then the do's and don'ts of life give way to a new life centered in God's love. This becomes our ultimate reward. This is the life in which we give witness. And this is the life that we were called to live. We are to live this love of God beyond all else. That is the good news. For that is the answer to our troubled society and our divisive world. That love of God is there for all of us to live and then be thankful that God has shown us this love through Jesus. Amen.